Thanks, Jimmy. Well, as most of you know, my girlfriend was here a few weeks ago, and she finally got to meet you guys and you guys got to know her. And I just wanted to thank you guys for embracing her like you guys did, because she really enjoyed our time here. And if you didn't get to meet her, she'll be back at Christmas, so you haven't lost your chance. And the reason I want to start out with that is because my lesson tonight stemmed from something that she and I did together. Almost at the beginning of our relationship, she came up to me and said, "Matthew, how would you feel if we started reading the Bible together?" And when she asked me that question, I was kind of puzzled for a minute, because I'm like, why would I say no to that? But so I said, yeah, let's start reading the Bible. So we started reading the Bible every day together, even if it was only a few chapters. And one of the first books we read was Proverbs. And if you've read Proverbs, you know that it is chock full of amazing proverbs, hence the name. But my favorite was 25:28. "Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control." And I was drawn to that because self-control is always something I've striven to improve. Because a man with good self-control, or a person with good self-control, sorry ladies, can do almost anything, including staying up all night studying for a test the next day, or giving a lesson through quivering teeth. I know, because I've done both. You get my point. Self-control and self-discipline should be the heart of every Christian, because it is the wall that defends us from our temptations and our sins. And I continued to think about self-discipline as we continued through the Bible. And soon enough, we got to the book of Nehemiah and the building of the wall of Jerusalem. And part of the story reads like this. "So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." And that's chapter 6, 15 through 16. In the midst of turmoil and opposition, God helped the Israelites build their wall faster than anyone thought possible. And I read that, and I drew a connection between Nehemiah and the proverb. If God could help the Israelites build their wall, why could he not help us build our spiritual wall of self-confidence? And a few years ago, Jim Oliver, who's not here, shame on you, he gave me a book, it was a historical fiction book following the life of Genghis Khan. And I bring that up because one of the biggest obstacles he came across in his conquest in Asia was the walls that the Chinese built around their cities and around their territories. He rode up with his horse and, that's a wall, and he didn't know what to do. So what he did is he took back and he thought with his advisors, and he came up with siege devices and tactics to starve them out. And with that, he brought China to its knees. And I say that because the Chinese had immense faith in their walls. They thought that they would protect them forever, but they didn't. So where they had faith in their physical wall, we need to have faith in our spiritual wall. Because unlike the Chinese wall or even Nehemiah's wall, our wall can't be breached or broken. If God is strengthening our self-discipline, not even Satan can conquer us. And the Bible is a how-to manual to build our wall, burying ourselves in the Word so we don't go astray, praying earnestly for God's will so we never lose sight of Him, and most importantly, in my opinion, relying on our brothers and sisters for strength and encouragement when we feel tired. We all know the proverb, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." And I love that. We strengthen each other so we can become stronger and stronger, and then we can better serve God and mold and shape His kingdom as He sees fit. We are comrades fighting a war against invisible enemies. Sin, poverty, hunger. These are the enemies that we are fighting. And we need to be building our walls around us to protect each other from the evils without. And we need to be drawing in the lost so we can shield them from darkness and teach them the way of the light. Ours should be a community of peace and love, in which we may openly share our struggles and our sins. And more often than not, this is the case. And churches of Christ are the family that we display. And I know this from personal experience. Most of you that know me know that I've heavily relied on my church family several times in my life to give me things that I didn't have. Families like the Calls, the Wallaces, or people like Lois Colangelo opened their homes to me and gave me food when my family couldn't provide. And more recently, when our family struggled again, they gave us meals so we wouldn't have to cook and Christmas presents that we couldn't afford. We've been blessed to have a family that has helped us through any of our times of need. So I thank you. But even so, I've attended many churches in my life in which the family of God was not so well displayed. In these churches, I've seen walls being built in the wrong places, building division in the church. Whether it's dividing Democrats and Republicans, conservative and liberal, or the young and old, it doesn't really matter because division has no place in the church. And I'll say that again. Division has no place in the church. And in my time, as short as it's been, I've been to a few of the New Age churches like Reality and Mission. And though I don't always agree with their theology, I do agree with their basic idea. That whether we're Church of Christ, Protestant, liberal, or Protestant, Presbyterian, non-denominational, or multi-denominational, whatever denomination we might find, we need to stop fighting among ourselves and start getting back to the goal of this life, serving God and saving the lost. A church of our Lord cannot survive if walls stand between its members. The church is a family. And yes, families have arguments and families have problems. But at the end of the day, everything that is said and done in a church is done out of love and concern. We need to look out for one another, and we need to protect one another. And if we look back to Nehemiah, we see just that. As it reads in 4:15 through 17, "When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried the materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. The people of Israel united together and worked together towards one cause, building their wall. Every man did their part. Men who were building the wall knew that they would be safe, because their brothers stood over them, guarding them. They worked together as one body. And as they followed Nehemiah, we follow Christ. And we are united as one body as we fight our enemy. And our enemy is Satan, and our goal is heaven. And in our fight, it is very easy to get lost or discouraged. Sin seems an impossible enemy to overcome. It seeps into our very minds and plagues us night and day. And I know this because this past year, that's what happened to me. My sins and my guilt over my sins just haunted me until I had to change. I had to do something different to try and resist them. So I went to my girlfriend and a couple of my closest friends, and I confessed my sins. And I said, I need your help. I need your help to resist my sins and walk a straighter, narrower path. And while I'm not always strong enough to resist them, my sins no longer consume my thoughts like they did a year ago, and for that, I thank God. But let me offer you this challenge. As we start building a wall around each other to protect ourselves, look around at your brothers and sisters, and I ask you to help me and help them to overcome and confront our sins, to confide in each other so we can strengthen each other in our times of weakness. So look around at all your brothers and sisters and ask yourself, what would you do for your family? And if you're not a member of this family and you want to be, or you have any questions, please come forward as we stand and sing.
I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and lit a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole.